So, good morning, everybody. Today, we're going to be learning on the topic of sealing up windows in Jewish tradition. Now, if this is something that that you've not heard about, that makes sense. Some people all know about this, and many other people don't know anything about this. This topic is a fascinating one, and it will lead us down a road which leads us into a, we'll call it a more darker, grayer road in Jewish tradition. We're going to explore some of those fascinating traditions which are lesser known. And before we do that, I want to take a moment to start by thanking Dr. Judith Cohen, Eliezer and Judith, and Judy Cohen, who are sponsoring on the yard site of David Yosef Ben Yitzchak HaKohen Olav HaShalom. That's Dr. Cohen's son and Eliezer's brother, whose yard site is upcoming. Thank you so much. It's tonight. Yes, tonight will be the yard site of Mitzvah Shem. It should have continued Aliyas Neshama. And he is Zichroi Baruch. We also thank today Saul and Sarah Goldfish, who are sponsoring on Saul's father's yard site, Pinchas, Levish Pinchas Ben Shol, and Sarah's father, Mr. Zoltan Katz, Yisrael Ben Shmuel, Olav HaShalom Nishmasehen Aiden. They should have continued Aliyas Neshama. And then we also today are thanking Mark and Livia Rottenberg, who are sponsoring for Mark's father's yard site, Boy Bayom today, of Yaakov Yosef Rottenberg, Yaakov Yosef Ben Mordechai HaKohen, Olav HaShalom. And it's wonderful to have you back here. It's good to be learning with you across the divide in Israel, but it's so much wonderful to have you back in your regular seat, Mark, and Mitzvah Hashem. You should have a Chaim Arukim, long and gezunta life, Mitzvah Hashem. And also, we are learning today in celebration of the birth of two great-grandchildren to Mr. Nissen and Estelle Mail. One is to Bat Sheva and Itchi Otis just a month ago. And in the last week, Emuna Me'eli to Ayelet and Ari Rosenberg, who was just born last week and named yesterday Be'ezras Hashem, should continue to celebrate the Gesund. What wonderful, wonderful news. It's so wonderful. Mr. Mail has always been in our shir, always learning to the front seat, always been the most wonderful, positive person. It's so wonderful to celebrate with you. Thank you for making the shir the opportunity to celebrate together. And also we're going to be learning for the Refuah Shlema of Baruch Ben Chana today. So let's start at the beginning. So this why we talk about this now is why should we learn about this topic? So actually in the last 6 months, I was asked this question twice. And I figured if it's coming up so often, it actually has to do with Parashas Balak. So here's the opportunity. I got this question two times. First time was about 6 months ago. People were doing construction. Can they close off a window in their house? To me at the beginning, I come from Lithuania originally. close a window, make a window, skylight. It wasn't something which was the forefront of my consciousness. I did a bit of research, and it turns out there is somewhat of a concern. And then just recently, a couple weeks ago, 2-3 weeks ago, somebody asked me the following shaila, where they bought a house where in the basement they have a number of wells down the egress exits on the side and around the sides of the basement, and one of them was already filled in. So it was like somebody put cement all the way down, and so when you open when you look through that window, the egress window, you look through at concrete. And the question was, doesn't look very becoming, and they're redoing their basement, can they cover it up with sheetrock? Right? Can they do that? So, upon looking into this, I'd like to explore some of the aspects of this question, where it comes from, and with perhaps the concerns or lack of concerns thereof. So let's start at the beginning. It turns out that it is a fascinating topic in, we'll call it, a spiritual halacha. Maybe we might want to say it, because this is not something you'll find necessarily in Shulchan Aruch. But you do find it in an interesting location. The location is in the Sefer Chassidim, and this was Sefer Chassidim was published around roughly 600-700 years ago. It was this is the Britannica Encyclopedia's definition over here, which is a highly valuable account of a day-to-day religious life. Right. So this is before the Chassidus movement of today. We talk about pious individuals writing down more ways to fix one's life in a more pious way. And including it relates to Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, Rabbi Lazar Ben Yehuda, and Rabbi Shmuel Ben HaChassid, among the people that were being described, or their practices were being described. In it is a tzava. What is a tzava? Mitzvah is like essentially a will, but like this is a spiritual will. So it's an ethical will. It's not about, you know, where his assets are going. It is about practices that he believes are important to follow. So in his tzava, his ethical will, he says the following statement. In source one, Seva Chasidim, Tzavas Rabbi Yehuda HaChasid, Lo Yistam Adam Chalona Pesach Legamrei, Shelo Yaziku HaShedim. Person should never fully close a window or a doorway, seal it up, because it could create spiritual damage among spiritual forces in the house. Kidarkon Latzeis Boy, they that is their way of leaving the house. Elo Yinkov Boy Nekev, a person should leave a hole in that window. Fascinating. And in more depth, he gives a little more of an explanation in Sefer Chasidim. Actually, the Sefer Chasidim adopts this practice and gives an interesting example from this week's parasha. So what's the story? So in source 3, the Sefer Chasidim says in Siman Elef, Kuf Mem Vav, Ki Ason Ra'asa Mashaloi Ra'a Bilam. The donkey saw what Bilam couldn't see. So Bilam here was this great, world-renowned sorcerer. Here he is going along the road. The donkey sees the angel. He doesn't see the angel. So why was it the angel was very specifically standing in the middle of the road and didn't move to either side? Very hard to translate phrase. The Ramban says that means to say is that it was twisted. It means to say Bilam's path had gone the wrong way. You're not in the place you're supposed to be. But it sounds like as well that there's something about the path of the angel that needs to be specifically and precisely in the middle of the road. So that perhaps a spiritual force, a shade, which is a semi-spiritual, semi-physical force, has a particular path in this world, and that path takes it through this entrance, and you're closing up its entrance, essentially pivoting it in a different direction. So he was trying to get through the way that the donkey could get through. Fascinating what that means spiritually. After all, you know, is a shade limited by the confines of physical space in the same way that to a certain degree? Yes. So it's a semi-physical, semi-spiritual force. It has certain physical properties. It's limited to certain physical constraints. So don't close up the window unless that was the way that it could have exited. Okay? Based on that, one should be very careful when doing construction as to what one does. If one has an open window, if one has an open skylight, then perhaps an open doorway, it might be a serious concern to do this. The concern over here? That's a good question. So apparently he's saying, no, even that's not it's the question that was asked is, what happens if you have another window? You know, so I'm putting in more windows and it's closing this one. So it sounds like Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid is saying, is maybe this was its aperture. This was the place that Hashem said it should go in and out, and now you've closed that in and out passageway. So the question just is do we do this? Do we worry about this? Which actually opens up a much larger question. I want to thank Rabbi Ephraim Polakoff, who sent me some of these very fascinating sources when I was looking into this topic. Let's try to explore this. So it actually goes into a realm of very, you know, we'll call it what some people would call heebie-jeebie, what some people feel is not, you know, spiritually concerning questions. Here are some of them. Now they're not heebie-jeebie. They really, some of them have real sources, some of them less so. And in halachic history, there's been a great debate about the tzavas Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, about his ethical will. How seriously do we take this? Is this specifically for him? How do we swallow this? So let's look at a few examples of questions that were asked through the ages which relate to this particular question. The first question we're going to look at was really as early as the times of the Noda B'Yehuda, Rabbi Cheskel Landau, who was asked the following question. Here you have a shidduch, so a young man and young girl are going out. Mazel tov, everything seems to be working out in the chemistry. We're not going to ask how many dates they were going on, but nonetheless, everything seems to be just fine. The problem is that the father of the young lady was sick at one point in his career, and they added a name to his name, and guess what? The name is the name of the young man. So therefore, because of that, the concern is should they get married? Well, why should that be a problem? So I'm sure you've all heard echoes of this question at some point in time, because this is another example of something that occurs in the Tzavos Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid. He says, it should not be that a person gets married to somebody who has the same name as their father, or vice versa, for the girl to get married to somebody who has the same name as the mother of the groom. Right now, by the way, there's multiple ways to get around this, and I'm sure we've all had these circumstances in our own lives in different ways, right? Yes.
We had to go, and we went, and he said, it's about the girl's name, not about the boy.
Okay, so here's all goes on the one way. So that's fascinating. It turns out if it's... Mark?
It borders on superstition.
Yes, yeah, so some people from the mall will call it Litvish camp. You know, just... So look at this and say, well, what is this? But there are many who are concerned about this, and you'll see the Hasidic world is very concerned about it. What's interesting is where the Sephardi world lands, which we're going to see in just a few minutes. But it is interesting to note, even those who are makbid on this concern, or this Tzavas Rebbe Chassid, which doesn't appear in the Gemara whatsoever, not even a hint to it, it is interesting that that they would say there's many exceptions. So as an example, if there are two names, if there's a different second name, no problem whatsoever. It's very specifically, it's exactly the same name. So there's a lot of exceptions. But Rav Yecheskel Landau, where was he the Rav in?
Prague.
Right, so, and what was his perspective on Hasidus? he was not such a fan. Right, so he wrote a tshuva. He was not such a fan of Hasidim at the time. And he was asked this shaila. So he brings up and he says, well, if you want to examine the Tzavos Rabbi Yehuda Chassid, let's look at other parts of the Tzavos Rabbi Yehuda Chassid, which are actually not just that they don't appear in the Gemara, they're against the Gemara. So what does that mean? So you take a look at what he suggests in source 4. So he says, Da Talmidi Yehai Chaviv, my student, my dear student, because this is the student who's asking about the Shidduch. He says, listen to me. V'yiyu devarim halalu chakukim aluach libecho lezikaron. Let these words be engraved upon your heart as a remembrance. Haklal agadol she'en l'kol chachomim she'achar ha-Talmud reshus loymar dover shene keneged ha-Talmud. No person has the right, after the closing of the Babylonian Talmud, to suggest something which is directly in opposition to the Talmud. V'ha'omer dover l'star kutzo shel yud midivrei ha-Talmud lo yechoshev b'chlal chach me'yisrael. Anybody who does that has lost their title as a wise person among Israel. V'amnam, kishanu moitzim echad michachmei Yisrael ha-muchzak b'toyra v'yira, b'li sofek shekosa b'sefer divrei sosa l'divrei ha-Talmud. But when you do find a person who is known to be a very pious and learned individual, who does say something which is against the Gemara, chayovin anu l'mashchuni nafshin l'tareitz tevorov sheloil diber rak l'shah o l'mishpacha pratis v'divrei Talmud heim al haklal. The only way we can possibly resolve this is by saying that that individual was writing about their specific situation, and the Gemara was talking about the default situation of the rest of Israel. So what's the example? Rabbi Yehuda Chassid in his ethical will said, "Dvarim shekimat asur lanu l'shaman." We can, it's, you know, to say them is even a problem. What did he say? Ki hu amer shelo yisa bas achoisoi, a person cannot marry his niece. That's one of the things he says in his will as well. He says of the Gemara, Amru Shehu Mitzvah. The Gemara doesn't just say it's all right. And in fact, he goes on to give examples of where Amorai married their nieces. So here's Rabbi Yehuda Chassid, we'll call it after the game, after the Talmud is finished, saying this is not all right, but they did it. How could you say that? How do you have the right to say that? And he goes on and he talks about two brothers marrying two sisters, which is another thing that Rabbi Yehuda Chassid also says is a problem. And he says, but the Gemara talks about two brothers marrying two sisters. In fact, it talks about multiple sets of brothers marrying multiple sets of sisters. So how does that work? How could he say something? This is not about, we'll call it in the realm of, you know, the Gemara doesn't talk about it. So let's deal with it. This is a completely oppositional statement. So therefore, he says in the last underline, V'imayah ha-chassid mitzavet savor zu l'kol Yisrael, if the audience of this will was all of us, was all of Israel, Hare hu soysa l'divrei ha-Talmud, he would be contradicting the words of our Talmud, v'yo asur lanu l'kabel devorov klal. We would have to dismiss his words wholeheartedly. Aval, ha-emes yaradarko, the truth is, ki ha-chosid l'zaroi acharov, tziva l'doire doros, ki ro'a barach ha-kodesh l'zaroi shalo yatzliach bezivugim ko'ele. He wasn't speaking to us. He was speaking specifically to his generations because he had a premonition. He had Ruach HaKodesh that in his generations, in his family, these things would not be good. And therefore he said these things should not be done, with the address being his very specific family, So he's not saying I'm dismissing the Gemara. He's saying in our family, I think this is a churma that should be taken upon ourselves because I see that the shidduchim are not going to work if two brothers marry two sisters. If the name of the father of the chassan is the same as the father-in-law, the girl is the same as the mother-in-law. Those are things that he understands in his family will be a concern. So what Rav Yecheskel Landau is essentially saying is he's limiting the scope of the tzawas Rabbi Yehuda Chassid. So and why so? Because of the contradictions. Now, it isn't related to our specific case, but in general, it sounds like the ideas that are said in Rabbi Rabbi Yehuda Chassid perhaps are seen in a very limited scope rather than an expansive scope.
To whom did he write this?
Well, who do you write tzavas to? So usually a person writes a tzava, an ethical will, to their children and grandchildren. That's a good question. You know, so how did the publisher, you know, who published it as part of, you know, as you know, sort of general mainstream literature, so to speak. You know, it's an interesting question. You know, there's a lot of things which are sometimes written in privacy, which are published. No, I'm not sure exactly how that worked out. But that's a good question. Or did he intend it to be published? So Rav the Nadav Yehuda would say no. Right. Well, the Geras Ramban was to his children, but we as we'll call the secondary audience benefit greatly. But the Ramban never contradicted anything in the Gemaras, which is why. So that's why it's right. Correct. Same with Geras Agra as well, in a similar way. Fascinating. So let's look at another few cases. So the next case we're going to look at is a question asked of Rav Avadia Yosef. Rav Avadia Yosef Chacham Avadia was asked in the Yabia Omer Chelek Hay the following question. It was about chopping down a fruit tree. Now, generally speaking, that is something which we don't do because the Torah says Baal Tashkes, right? That's an explicit pasuk that a person is not allowed to destroy the fruit of a fruit tree. However, the Gemara Baba Kama gives many examples of dispensations where it's fine, where it's allowed. So, as an example, let's say it's destroying one's house, right? So the roots are destroying one's house; it doesn't yield fruit. There's a number of examples of where there may be provisions to allow it. However, the Yabia Omer, Rav Avadia Yosef says, but in the Tzavos, Rabbi Yehuda Chassid, he says never to do it. And the understanding is, never. Meaning to say, and again, this is sort of in the realm of, we'll call it danger, right? Spiritual danger. He says, not a good idea to do this. So he says, he quotes the Chida, who says, Shiesh da tzadeh shekavanasoy lamar shegam bo'ofen shemutar min adin lo yokutz. That even when it might be mutar, based on halacha, based on the Rambam says, and how the Shulchan Aruch, it's really a taz, brings it down, then one would be allowed to do that. So what do you do? It's an extensive tshuva, so we're not going to go through all the ins and outs. It's a very fascinating topic. But he does, in relating to the topic of Rav Yehuda Chassid and how we relate to his ideas, he says in Source 5, V'on on the second, he quotes Rav Chaim Pelagi, the tshuva is the response of Chaim B'Yad, who quotes in the second line, says, V'on on B'Didon, Ra'inu lahach mi b'chol tzavos Rav Yehuda Chassid, ki ha'over alem lo yinake me'avoin, me'oini u'minisro chas v'sholam. So Rav Chaim Pelagi, one of the spiritual leaders of the previous generations, had said that, look, even if you say this is not halachic, Rav Yehuda Chassid is not talking about halacha. What is he talking about? He's talking about sakanta, not isura. Sakanta means he's saying this is spiritually dangerous. I'm telling you now, I'm mapping out the way, and this is a spiritually dangerous activity. So you may say, well, I'm going to follow Shulchan Aruch halacha. He's not telling you about halacha. He's telling you about sakanta. And halacha, generally, the way we follow halacha is chamira sakanta misura. If there's a concern or danger, it doesn't matter if halacha is matirat. You're not going to do it because it's dangerous. So Rav Chaim Pelagi says, don't do anything that's said in this, which is why your mother-in-law is nervous, right? Because this is a real concern. One doesn't want to be, meaning halakhically speaking, there might be a permit and a license, but one doesn't want to do this. What is interesting is, he goes, V'gidesh solahach mibo'oid, v'ein devar of mukrachim klal, Rav Avadia says this does not make sense, puk chazi. He goes and he quotes the Shem Aryeh, the tshuva Shem Aryeh, a very predominant achron, shekol tzavos rabbi rachazi lo yaziku rak le'echod minei elef. He says that those affected by transgressing Rav Yehuda Chassid is one in a thousand. U'midina u'mitakonas chachomim ein lachush lo zeh lohem klal. And therefore he says that's, we'll call too infrequent an incidence to be concerned. So let's say even there is sakanta, but it's so far off, it's so inconsequential that this is not something we worry about. This is an interesting discussion when it comes to vaccines. Yes.
There isn't a court for that.
For what?
In general, for sakanta.
Oh, that's a big topic in general, risk taking. I try to address some of this on Shavuos nights in terms of risk taking. What's sort of the bandwidth where one can take risks at what cost? But there's a lot of discussions about the Shnato Olam and Nashasechim Ki Pola Noifel Mimenu. There's a lot of discussions based on Psukim in the Torah, but how to exactly, you see, Chazal and the later Achronim weren't dealing with percentages like we do. You know, so we talk about, you know, the frequency and the percentage and the probability. That wasn't the way they dealt with it. So it's to try to extract what we call the rules to induce the rules is a fascinating topic, but it is certainly something we are concerned about. How much, how far? Right, is certainly a discussion. So this is the way he deals with it in Yabia Omer. In Yechaveh Das, which is the other set of responsa of Rav Ovadia Yosef, he is asked a different question. Now, Yechaveh Das actually is a lot more accessible than Yabia Omer, for those people who have spent time trying to learn both. Yabia Omer were his written responsa, which means that people would write him letters and he'd write answers. And by the way, Rav Ovadia Yosef was Ma'ayan HaMisgaber. He was a spring which continues to overflow because he knew everything. To Rav Ovadia Yosef, they'd bring him a page in a sefer where the sefer, they couldn't identify the sefer, and he could tell you what the name of the author was just by looking at the page. I mean, like, he was brilliant to the... We don't have people like that so much around. He was unbelievably brilliant. So when he wrote his tshuvas, I mean, this tshuva in the Yabia Omer is an extensive one, an essay of pages onto pages onto pages. Yechaveh Das was, if you open up the beginning of the Sefer, it actually is much more accessible because it wasn't what he wrote. It is actually, let's see if they put it over here in this one. Yes, Asher Shudru Baradio B'chol Erev Shabbos, in the Pinat Halacha. So he was brought on the radio station to ask questions, to answer questions, and he spoke. And then his Talmidim turned his radio show, his answers, which were obviously very extensive, but they turned it into Yechaveh Das, much more accessible, much easier to because he wasn't writing it, he was speaking. So in the Chelek Gimel, in Ayin Zion, he's asked the following question. The Ramos says, and this I'm sure we've all encountered this in some degree or another, is that one man should not be the Sandek twice. That's what the Ramos says. Why is that? So the Ramah is actually quoting based on a Tosis Rabbeinu Peretz, who says that there's a great bracha which is associated with being a sandek, because it says at the end of Parshas Vayechi, it talks about how Yosef was able to see many generations of Birkei Yosef on the lap of Yosef, and it describes how he brought his children into his grandchildren and great-grandchildren to the Bris Shel Avram Avinu, and that's seen as a wonderful thing. The Tosis Rabbeinu Peretz says, in fact, it is like bringing Ketores. It's like bringing the incense to the Beis HaMikdash, which is associated with great bracha. And the halacha is that when a kohen got the opportunity of doing Ketores, then they didn't do it again, because it was associated with so much bracha that therefore we gave it to other kohanim. Now, it happens to be fascinating because, generally speaking, the Bris Milah is seen as a korban because there's blood involved and the blood is brought on, which means be'ach. The outside Mizbech, not the inside Mizbech. The Keteres, there was no blood except for on Yom Kippur. Right? So when the blood came on its way back out from the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So why is it considered like Keteres? So there's a Medrash Rabbah in Bereshit which describes that when Avram Avinu was in the process of circumcising his entire household, it wasn't just him, it was him and Yishmael and the whole business. So the description is they placed the foreskins in a pile. And there was the smell, so to speak, which we would probably say is not such a wonderful odor. Is Hashem says that is like Ketores, meaning to say the sacrifice made of these grown men at this point in time without anesthesia, by the way, is that the result of that is like Ketores. So it's seen as a sacrifice which related to Ketores is associated with great bracha, which is why people try to get brachas from Sundex. So the Ramos says that's why. We say that a person should not receive a Sunday ka'us more than once. The Achronim on the Nosei Kenim on the page say, well, that's only when it comes to one family, right? So one set of parents. But when it comes to multiple, we see that many great people, many great Gedolim had many Sunday ka'uses even on one day. They would have it. So it's clearly within the framework of one family. The Vilna Gaon, on his comments in the Shulchan Aruch there, says that we don't listen to this Ramah. This Ramah, because the Ramah is only talking about, it would sound like it would be globally. He says, really, actually, this we follow because of Tzavah's Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid. Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid says the same thing, but more generally, that a person should not be a sandek to two children in the same family. And right, so that's what he says with one exception. Now, that's what he says. So the Yechavidaz is asking, do we consider this halacha? Do we follow this Vilna Gaon who's quoting this Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid? Again, another example of this. Is it all right? Is there? There's some Achronim talk about a time frame of 12 months within this for the same child, which is usually makes things all right. So what do we do about this? So he quotes. Remember that Shem Aryeh that Rav Avadia quoted in the previous one, who says that it's not a problem. So he says the following. He quotes the Shem Aryeh now in a more extensive reference in source 6. He says Akasa b'shuvas b'shuvas Shem Aryeh. The following, v'zeh toichen devora, and he's going to summarize what Rav Shem Aryeh said. Shamati maragon rayashish marav morcha margolios, I've based him Stenov. So he quotes the Rav Margolios, who said the following, shekibel me'ayavoysav kiba asifas gedolei ador shoysa bedore shel ha-marasha. At the times of the Marasha, one of the early achronim, whose commentary is found in the back of every Gemara, there was a gathering of leaders of at the time. The Marsha was among them. So they were talking about this ethical will of Rabbi Yehuda Chassid. He wrote in the tzava, in the will, Shelo yikra ish mizaroi es benoi, lo b'shem Yehuda, v'lo b'shem Shmuel. Nobody in his family should be called Yehuda or Shmuel. By the way, that was his name, Rabbi Yehuda Chassid, and I believe his father was Shmuel Chassid. So he says, "Ona mizara de Rabbi Yehuda Chassid Kasina," and the Marsha says, "I am from that family. Shani mi bnei bono, v'zeh shemi Shmuel. My name is Shmuel Marsha. Right, that's the shin. Right, v'shem Avi Yehuda. My father's name is Yehuda. V'agoyin amachaber shem Aryeh Kasev limtzoy tam lekach she'er shashat zavol lohesa ele lezarei mamish v'lo ledores haboy machareihem." And so says the Shem Aryeh, how could that be possible? And how could he so brazenly say such a thing? It must be that the Tzavaz Rabbi Yehuda Chassid had a statute of limitation. And that is, it was not only was it specifically to his children, but it was to his children and grandchildren who are extant, not those who are to come in the future generations as well. So another mitigating factor. The end, although it is not quoted here in this, the Rav Avadia Yosef, Chacham Avadia says a very famous line which he uses in multiple locations. And that is, according to the Gemara Pesachim, Uda lo kapid bahadei. What does that mean? Uda lo kapid bahadei. If you don't worry about it, it doesn't worry about you. Right, so that's what, and this is about, that's talking about Zugos, the whole discussion about Ayin Hara. And so therefore, Chacham Avadia says, if you're not worried about this, if it worries you, then worry about it. But if you're not worried about it, it's not going to worry you as well. So that's where he sort of he puts. Now that by the way, that doesn't dismiss it. Do you understand that? That doesn't mean to say it doesn't exist. That means to say that those who are concerned about it should be concerned. Now here's another example of this. We're just going into multiple examples of this. Rav Moshe Feinstein was asked the following question. This is a question which comes up all the time, and that is that a person is niftar Rachman al Islan, and the question is what to do about their shoes. What about the shoes of the niftar? Right? So Eri says, no, we shouldn't touch them, right? So why is it, where does that come from? Again, that comes from Rabbi Yehuda Chassid. Rabbi Yehuda Chassid in the Tzavos says that a person should not wear the shoes of the dead. So Rav Moshe Feinstein said, should we worry about this or not? So the Igros Moshe in Yoredei Chelek Gimel talks about the situation, and he says, well, maybe it's based on the Gemara in Chulin. The Gemara in Chulin says that a person should not make shoes, and should not wear shoes of an animal, shemesa, an animal which died. Now, generally speaking, our shoes are generally, hopefully, made of animals which died. Because if the animal was walking around, that would not be a very good thing. So what does it mean? What does the Gemara really mean? As opposed to an animal which was killed. Right? Because if the animal died, then there's a possibility that it could have died because of some sort of condition. The Gemara says perhaps it was bitten by a snake. It had some sort of poison in it. It had degenerated disease, perhaps. And by you putting against your skin, right, socks weren't in vogue as much, but you're putting against your skin a carcinogen of sorts like this. It is dangerous for you. So he says perhaps that's where he is, where the Rabbi Yonachos is coming from. And if so, the same would extend itself to, let's say, the shoes of the niftar. If a person, God forbid, was suffering a debilitating disease, a contagious debilitating disease, and they passed away, then in such a circumstance, you don't want to be wearing their shoes because, God forbid, you don't want to contract whatever it is they may have had. There's some very contagious and dangerous diseases. That's what's going on over here. So Rav Moshe Feinstein makes the following comment in source 7. Va'av she'iko kama devorim etzavo shelo yadu atam. There are many things that are written in Rav Yehuda HaChassid's ethical law, and we don't know the reason for them. She'efsha she'gam tzavo azu, hi beloy tam yadu alanu mikomokom ma. So Rav Moshe Feinstein says, if there's a logical reason we can understand, then we'll be concerned about it. If there's not a logical reason, we don't have to be concerned about it. That's sort of walking into the more in the middle of the road. So therefore he says, in this case, there's a logical reason. There's the danger of a contagious disease, which means, so in the case where, let's say, a wonderful woman of fashion passes away and she has 37 pairs of shoes in her closet, and she never wore any of them in the last 6 months during the disease, there's no problem wearing, selling, using those shoes because she never wore them in a state of sickness. It's only, therefore, the shoes which are related to the time that that person was sick that there should be a concern for. If they bought new shoes, there's no concern. They never wore them even. So this would be the, Rav Moshe Feinstein says, in terms of trying to mitigate this. Now, as it turns out, so this is in general. This is sort of a general look at the Tzavos Rabbi Nachman. How do we look at these issues, which are, we'll call it, spiritual ideas, which are not recorded in other Achronim, which are not beforehand, are not recorded in the Gemara, sometimes oppositional to the Gemara. How do we look at these? This happens to be a debate in later generations. We see that there are those, like Rav Chaim Pelagi, who says that Chamira Sakantam Yisura, one has to be very careful. The other, Rav Vilna Gaon even quotes this Rabbi Yehuda Chassid about the Sandek. However, the other many who say that not necessarily so. We don't have to be so concerned. Now, let's come back to Nenu. So what about our case of closing up the window? So it turns out that many Achronim deal with this, and they say, well, it's a very easy fix. So let's look at some of the interesting halachas that apply to this, some of the interesting aspects which can be applied to this. So the Ben Yishchai, one of the great Talmidei Chachamim, the Chachamim of Baghdad, in the previous century, in the 19th century, says the following. He says the kosav at savas Rabbi Nachos in source 8. Leistam chalon haPesach legamrei elayaniach chor kol shehu. It's very easy to avoid this. Is just leave a small hole. So there's still a passageway. So you're putting in the sheetrock. Just leave a little hole. It's really not such a big issue. So that's what he suggests. And thereby you have also fulfilled Rabbi Nachos. The Kaf HaChaim on the Shulchan Aruch says, "Lo'yistom adam chalon haPesach legamrei shelo yaziku hashedim kidarko lantzeis boy elo yinkov nekev katan." Savas Rida Chassid, "Va'af bekoisel hamafzik bein beis hamafzik bayis bein bayis the beis haKnesses yesh lachmir." Even if you have a window between a regular house and a beis Knesses, when you were talking about attached apartments, one should be careful. Yosef Omes Shami quotes the Yosef Omes, and he quotes the Vibnei Dosenu, "Kishesoyes in Pesach manichim sham kone chalul." He says that even another way of doing it is to have it like a little pipe, a little attachment from one side to the other, and there's no problem. It is interesting, by the way. I'm just trying to remember where I saw this. Oh, well, yeah, we'll get there in just a second. Okay, so now the Shevet HaLevi, Rav Vozna Zecher Tzadik Divracha, wrote a fascinating response, and the topic was, it's in Chelek Vav of the Shevet HaLevi. And the topic, and I'm just reading to you what the topic is, Dvarim Ha'asurim Mishum Sakona. It's a topic about general things, practices which one should avoid because of danger, all kinds of things. You know, leaving over onions and eggs, drop peeled, without salt on them, all the things which we have heard about appear in this Shuvah. It's very worthwhile looking at in general, the things that are concerned about or not. And in this end of this extensive Shuvah, he has one paragraph, the very, very tail end, and that is regarding our topic, which is closing a window. And so Rav Vozna from Bnei Brak says, "B'inyan Tzavos Rabbi Nachosid, Simon Chav Shelo Yistom Chalon HaPesach Yodoh Ma Di'isa Misorim Ad Kedoshim De'efshar Lasos Kone Chalul U'efshar Gam Nesayed Olav Bachutz." He says you can place a pipe in it to avoid this, and you can even close it up on the outside. So it's fully closed as long as there's a pipe on the inside, which where it should be sufficient. So he said it's worthwhile hedging on that bed, it sounds like. What's interesting is that he does go on to say, and this is not actually quoted over here, in the Fuller Tshuva, he says, and one should be extra specially careful when it comes to shuls. Interesting. He says when coming to construction in shuls, one has to be extra special extra special care. Sometimes you'll pass by shuls, and sometimes you'll see closed windows. He says that one should be very careful about that. Interestingly enough, doesn't give a reason, but that's what he says. There are another few small details which are helpful. This Mark, yeah.
A complete knockdown. It's off the table.
That's fine. Yeah. The question is are you trapping something inside which needs to get out? But if it's not there as well, so let's look at a few specific examples which are recorded in later halacha. So there's a sefer called Shivim Tamarim which says, "Da dahach destima chalonu pesach shebekan nire lefarish davka keshehisir amashkov amezuzos v'sosman al yidei binyan keshara koisel." When is there a problem of blocking it up? Is when you're actually removing the window completely. So you remove the windowsill, you remove the frame. And you take it all away and essentially you smooth it over, you cement it over, and you close it up. That's when the concern is. Huhida ika sakanta. That's when there could be the concern of danger. Dmidahavi stima olamis, because it is a permanent closure. Aval ima mashkov amezuzos b'mekoman. But let's say the window is still there. V'rakshen nata delasos asosam apesach b'minyan etzim avadavanim. So let's say you cover up the aperture, so you board it over. Right? Have you ever been down to downtown Detroit? Recently, right? So anyway, you board up the windows, or you fill it up with bricks, even, but the shape of the window still exists there. You still have the windowsill, no problem. It's still not an issue. It's only rakishanot al dlasas of sasa ma pesach beminin eitz malavonim. Oh, sorry, umashakos of imadeles tisuval al tzira rakishasasa ma pesach idei askiras adeles. So let's say a person nails closed that door. They don't want to use this entrance. Right, when we were growing up, our house was a circle, right? So it's like sort of there was a room in the center, and then all the other rooms led to each other, right? And so, you know, you can imagine with young kids, that's like just a recipe for disaster all day long. So one door got locked, and that was, we just, you know, so let's say the parents were a little more, you know, heavy on this, and they nailed the door shut. That's what happened in our house. That's not a problem either, because the door is still the door, right? It means to say that if you're really just sort of obliterating the existence of it. The Shevet HaKahasi says the following, quoting the Bel Zareb on the left-hand side of Source 12, Oidos Tavos Rabbi Rachos said, Shelo listom chalon oi deles ela yishar nekev, shamati me ish meheman, he heard from a trustworthy individual, Shoshama mipi koide shel, koid kudushosa moron admor, Rebbe Aron, I think it's Rebbe Arla from Bel's, Sheposa di yashir nekev, malei egrev shel tinak, v'yosim niyar besoch hanekev, v'yochol osim tiach mishnet stade hanekev. So he says, you can even do it this way, even simpler. So let's say in the case where a person wants to close up the window completely, just leave a little bit in the middle, which is the space of a child's fist. Put a crumple up paper so that space remains open. You can even seal both sides of that, as long as you have that is not like fully cemented all the way through, as an example. And he goes on the right hand side. He says, "Nira de ein chashash to rakli stoim chalon or pesach yesh to the kind of kamosh kosov." The deal ma yesh sham derech lemazik in kashasos pifneim a derech yecholin azika. Who are din kashyesh chalon ba'gag? Similarly, a skylight. He says gam kain shem chalon olav ve'en asasmoi. One should not close it up so easily. Masha en kain kashamir peses hoya pasuach vayol erak gagoin avagag boli sasmoi. So let's say you have a mir peset, a patio, and what you want to do is it only has like sort of a rain cover on the top. And now you want to cover it over, right? So you want to make sure that when the rains, it's not going to close it off. You put up windows or you put up... That's not a problem because there wasn't a window in the first place, right? It wasn't like that was a specific entrance. That was just open. So that's not a problem whatsoever. And finally, the last sort of identification is where Mekinyan HaTorah Ba'alochi says that, in fact, a person can even, if one wanted to put it in this very small pipe, he says one can even have a cork on each side and just close it. And it can be closed all the time. So for all intents and purposes, it could be, you know, invisible to guests. But as long as there's something which is allowing it. What is interesting about this is that all these achronim over here, even though having learned the Nodeb Yehuda and the Yabiyah Omer and the Yechaveh Das and the Igros Moshe, who would probably say that in this situation, one doesn't have to be so worried. Many of the later achronim do say if one wants to, it's very easy to avert this, to be able to take this into consideration. There's multiple leniencies which are involved in this particular subject. So in this case, just to do a backtrack, so a person is a priori going to be closing up things, it's not a bad idea. It's a good idea to use one of these methods which are described, whether it be having a hole, having something in the middle. If one isn't concerned about this, bichlal, none of the Rebbe Yehuda Chosid, that says Rabbi Vadya Yosef, deloy kapid, loy kapid bay. However, in a case where it's already been done. So the case I described to you beforehand, where let's say the wells had already been dug, and one of them had been filled in with concrete, and now they want to board over with sheetrock a window. The window, I don't believe there's an issue in that case because they themselves weren't the ones who did it. So to say that they now need to drill through the concrete to reopen the aperture of the window, I don't believe is a necessity in this particular case. That's what we'll call a bidyevet situation as well. There's a few questions there, Moish.
It seems obvious to me, but from the Achronim's responses, no one has responded saying, today we don't hold from Shadim.
Interesting. That's a good question.
Says we don't have Shadim.
That's a good question. Yeah, so so Ramosh is asking the question is, nobody says, well, we don't have Shadim, so let's dismiss this altogether. And it sounds like, so that actually comes back to Rabbi Vadia Yosef's comment, which is, that means to say that you don't have to worry if you don't worry about them. So that's generally the stance that we take as well. But it is interesting. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky has an old essay on this. He says there's no these spiritually damaging forces don't exist in the same way they used to because you don't have a spiritually powerful force on the positive side to warrant such the existence of such forces as well. So you're right. It is interesting that people are concerned. There are those who are still concerned, and it's a very easy fix when it comes to these kind of things as well. Something to be aware of. Any further questions? Yes, Susan.
A beautiful apple tree that was dying, and we were waiting to do construction, and took years for this beautiful apple tree, slowly, the last branch.
That's it. Yeah. So people are very concerned about apple trees because the greater the fruit trees, because the Gemara itself talks about very terrifying consequences of being made ill and that. So that's before Rabbi Yehuda Chassid. So Rabbi Yehuda Chassid is augmenting what the Gemara seems to be saying in that case. Nonetheless, there is halacha. If you look at the Rambam gives you multiple options as to so there's what to talk about when it comes to that. But there's a difference between construction and stopping destruction, as an example. You know, there's a lot of discussion selling it. There's a lot of interesting topics when it comes to this. But nonetheless, Rabbi Yehuda Chassid was machmir in this case. I hope this is interesting. Yes, Mark. That's part of the discussion. That's one of the coolest. But many times you'll have a tree which let's say you'll have a female tree that doesn't have there's no male tree in the district, so it's only producing inedible fruit, right? Which is sometimes the situation. There's a lot of interesting discussions about these kind of things, and there's room to be made. Anyways, folks, thank you very much for taking the time. A fascinating topic. It gives us an opportunity to look into some of the less known aspects. Yes.